In the words of Solomon, David's son, "For everything there is a season, and a time for everything under the sun. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And we could add a time to hurt and a time to get over it." Maybe you were hurt a long while ago. Isn't it time now to get over it? Let us pray. Lord God, we have entered your sanctuary this day, all of us carrying hurts, some of them buried so deeply, we're no longer aware of how they affect our lives. So we ask that you would do now what your holy word is capable of doing, which is to open our hearts and cleanse us of our hurt, that we might be able to love you with all our heart. In the Savior's name, amen. Shortly after the terrible civil wars with Saul, King David realized that he had assumed leadership of a discouraged and divided nation. So he decided that what Israel needed was to recover the Ark of the Covenant. This was a great idea. Not only would it inspire and unite the people, but it would also turn Jerusalem, David's new capital, into not just a political center, but also a spiritual center for the whole nation. God was going to love this idea, David assumed. Why bother praying about a great idea when with a little bit of hard work you can take care of it yourself? David would have made a great Protestant. The Ark of the Covenant was given to the people by God when they were still in the wilderness after leaving Egypt on their way to the Promised Land. It was a very ornate box lined with gold that served as the mercy seat for the Lord Jehovah. The Ark was a symbol of the presence of God who journeyed with his people. Closest thing we would have to this in the church would be the Holy Sacraments, physical symbols of the mercy of God that is among us. Well, 30 years earlier, the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant in a battle. But they soon discovered that this ark was giving them such headaches and troubles that they abandoned it. They dumped it in the house of a man named Abinadab. So David got together a few troops, 30,000, and marched them onto the front lawn of Abinadab's house. And he asked if he could have the Ark of the Covenant back. Not surprisingly, Abinadab agrees. Not only does he give David the ark, but he also gives him two of his sons to help carry the ark back to Jerusalem. One of these boys was named Uzzah. We don't exactly know whose idea this was, but they decided to carry the ark back to Jerusalem on a brand new ox cart. So away they go, to haul the Ark of the Covenant off to its new home in Jerusalem. Pretty soon, a parade breaks out. David and all the house of the Lord were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. I didn't even know the Hebrews had castanets. 30,000 strong, the parade marches along, until somehow the dumb ox stumbles. And Uzzah, who had carefully planned to walk beside the ox cart just in case something like this should happen, reaches up with his hand and takes hold of the ark to steady it. And we're told that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah because he touched the ark. And God struck Uzzah dead on the spot. Parade comes to an abrupt stop. The dancing ends. And David gets furious. He says, well, forget it. Leave God's precious chair over there at that guy's house. So the Ark of the Covenant remains at the roadside house of a man named Obed-Edom while David sulks his way back to Jerusalem. Now, what went wrong? Well, for starters, they weren't carrying the ark correctly. When God gave them this symbol, he also left explicit instructions that the ark was only to be carried on the backs of the Levite priest. And even the priests weren't allowed to touch it, because this thing was just too sacred to ever be grabbed hold of by human hands. The Levites had to move the ark. They were supposed to do it by running poles through little gold rings that were on the side of the ark, then carry it on their backs. David had done his homework. He would have known about this. But homework? Priests, poles, little gold rings. This seems kind of tedious, doesn't it? After all, they put it on a brand new ox cart. What does God expect? Well, God doesn't expect them or us to agree or even to understand his commandments. He expects us to obey them. But I do not believe that God struck Uzzah dead just because David didn't obey the letter of the law. To tell you the truth, David was never particularly good about the letter of the law. He was in great violation of the letter of the law when he took more than one wife, and some of them belonged to other men already. And he violated the letter of the law when he burst his way into the temple and ate the holy bread just because he happened to be hungry. No, David and God were not connected by standards. They were connected by the heart. That's precisely what angered God. God was angry at the heart of David that would dare to grab for the Ark of the Covenant just because it offered some political capital. God was even angrier at the carefulness of Uzzah, who thought that he could contain God safely on an ox cart. When you honor the commandments of God, even the ones that you do not understand or agree with, you are acknowledging that God is God. And he will not be either grabbed or contained by our minds. You know, when the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant in that battle, they thought they had grabbed hold of a great lucky charm. They were going to just carry it around from town to town, hoping to spread some of the luck around. And you know how they carried it? On an ox cart. And that's when all their troubles began. Hauling God around on an ox cart is always a bad plan. God will not be captured by those who have found a use for him, be they Philistines or the anointed king of Israel. And God will not be contained by the careful plans of those who think they got sacredness all boxed up. Poor old Uzzah. You know, he was just trying to be careful. He'd worked out this great plan. We'll put it on an ox cart. I mean, that moves slowly. It's not like he tied it to the back of a Mustang. He put it on a... It was a good plan. It was a careful plan. While David, meanwhile, is at the front of the parade dancing with the castanets. Why didn't God strike down David? Why does he nail poor Uzzah? Well, I think it's because God has never been as offended by our impulsiveness as he is by our carefulness. Because all of your careful plans have an inevitable way of domesticating God, making sure that you got God all worked out. And God will not be domesticated. You don't understand why God slayed Uzzah? I'm telling you something. Uzzah probably didn't understand it either. Welcome to worshiping God. Eugene Peterson has said that we ought to paste a sign on the front door of every church that says, "Beware of the God." You're never going to contain him. This is the Holy One that we worship, and he will not be contained by our careful plans or by our understanding. You know, unlike careful Uzzah, David was never careful with God or anybody else. He grew up fighting bears and lions. He taunted a giant. He toyed with King Saul. He hid out among the Philistines. And any time David ever got disappointed, he always took his anger out on God. Isn't it striking that God tolerates the anger of David, but he kills Uzzah for being too careful? Why? Well, anger is an emotion of the heart. Your anger and your hurt, they are but calls to worship. But your carefulness will prevent you from ever knowing God. Uzzah was dead before he touched the Ark of the Covenant. He died the moment he thought he could keep God safely contained on that ox cart. Keep them all boxed up. You think you understand God because you've read the Bible? That's a box. Do you think God is going to protect you this week because you were in worship today? That's just another box you try to stuff God into. Do you think that God will make your plans a success if you ask him to help you out in prayer? Well, that's a small box. When you return to work tomorrow, do not pray that God makes your plans a success. Pray rather that you might be of use to the unimagined plans of God that day. God has plans for your tomorrow that has not even crossed your mind. The question is, will you be open to it? Will you see the miraculous things that God is doing around you tomorrow, or will you miss it all because you were too devoted to your little box, hoping that God would somehow show up in this little place where you needed him to be, in your meeting, in your report, in the deal you were trying to make? When meanwhile, God's doing all kinds of things all around you. You miss it because, like Uzzah, you get too caught up with the little box you were expecting God to be. Or like David, you get too disappointed and angry when God doesn't do what you thought he ought to. Well, after David had been sulking for a while in Jerusalem, he receives word that Obed-Edom is being blessed, and all of his household is being blessed because they have the Ark of the Covenant there. When David receives word of this, he illustrates exactly why the Scripture calls him a man after God's own heart. He gets over it. He chooses to stop being angry. So he goes to the house of Obed-Edom, where he left the Ark of the Covenant. This time we're told that he brought some Levite priests with him to carry the Ark back. And the parade begins again. Only this time, David doesn't let the priest take six steps before he stops everything, sacrifices an ox, and then begins to dance before the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? He slays the ox. He sacrifices his anger and Uzzah's careful plans. And then David returns to dancing before a God he does not understand. G.K. Chesterton has written that the secret to worship is this: we can understand everything by the help of what we do not understand. Whatever your fundamental argument with life has been, whether you realize it or not, it is first and foremost an argument with God. It is an argument about what God allowed to happen or what God didn't prevent from happening or what God did or didn't do. That's what the argument is really about. It's really all about the all-powerful God whose ways are not your ways, who you do not understand. And you will continue to nurture the hurt until you bring the argument up with God. This God who you thought you had all figured out. This God that you have been carrying around behind you on an ox cart for far too long. Well, maybe today is the day for you to slay an ox. You were hurt a long time ago. Somebody that you trusted broke your heart. The job was stolen away from you that you should have had. Your parents weren't as loving and careful with you as they should have been. You've tried to forget about it. You've tried to stuff it. You've tried to just move on. But you've carried the hurt with you through one relationship or job or move after another. Like a dumb old ox, the hurt just keeps trudging right behind you anywhere you go. You are never going to get over the hurt until you sacrifice it before the God who you do not understand. Now, if you do that, if you give the hurt to God, if you enter into His presence and inquire in His temple there, I can promise you that God will not explain Himself to you any better than He did to David. But as you return to worshiping before a God you cannot contain, as you get smaller in the presence of this God who is too big to be comprehended, ironically, you will find the dance steps of joy returning to your life. Slay the ox. Give up your disappointment over the careful plans that did not work out or the hurt that you have been carrying for too long. Get over it, because you will never be able to dance with an ox. Let us pray. Oh God, instead of getting over our hurt, we have befriended it and grown comfortable as victims. Today, in an act of worship, we give it up to you, the God whom we do not understand, asking that as we worship you, the dance to life may finally return. Amen.